Well, I'd like to take this opportunity today to thank all of you for coming. It is an immense privilege and blessing for me to be able to stand before you and share a little bit of God's Word today. And I don't take that lightly, and I'm very thankful for the opportunity. I thank my friends, my family, and all of you for coming, and especially I thank our pastors, Karen and Dave Brooks, for giving me the opportunity. So, I am very excited about the topic that I am going to share with you today from the Bible. And what I'm going to be sharing on today concerns the importance of being saved, and once we are saved, that we should be doing good works. In addition, the rewards that are given by God to each Christian for the work they have done. And there is no favoritism, or there isn't any favoritism with God. And I'd like to open up with one of my favorite verses in the Bible, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, and it says, "Who," talking about God, "wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth." God wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. So once you get saved, God wants you to come to a knowledge of the truth. And one of the reasons that God wants you to come to a knowledge of the truth, because coming to a knowledge of the truth will benefit you as a Christian in your life, because the Bible contains all things, it says in Peter, pertaining to life and godliness. So if you want answers to life and you want answers to the things of God, this book right here contains those answers. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. This is what the Bible says of or about how we become saved. So it says that in verse 9, that, and these are from the NIV Bible, these quotations, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Praise God. There is some teaching going around right now that says that salvation or being saved is by works. And I'm going to share a few verses before we get into the greatness of the topic I want to talk about today, which is the rewards for Christians. But in Acts 16, in verse 30, this particular record, Paul and some of his friends were in jail, and, well, I'll just read the record here. The jailer, in verse 29, the jailer called for lights and rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved and your household." So, yeah, praise God for that. So Romans 10, 9 and 10 says that if you confess Jesus Christ as Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead, you're born again of God's Spirit and you are saved. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, one of the great epistles in the Bible. There are so many great things loaded in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. These are among my favorite verses in the Bible. And in verse 8, it says, you'd think with a big Bible like this, I'd be able to find those verses easy. Here we go. "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves." By grace are ye saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. "It is the gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast." Verse 10, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works." Hey, praise God. "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves, as it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are created in Christ Jesus to do good works." And that is what I'm going to be talking about today. We as Christians, God wants us to get busy doing good works. And the great thing about it is that when we do good works, God has got a system of rewards set up for us in the future that we are going to receive for the good works that we do in this lifetime when we're on the earth. Good works will be rewarded by God. Look at 1 Corinthians 6:19. Our life is not our own. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Listen to this. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. And what was that price? Jesus Christ. It cost God everything. His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ paid the price so that in this day and time, after the day of Pentecost, through the time in 1 Thessalonians when Jesus Christ comes back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we were bought with a price, and God wants us to get busy doing things that He has called us to do. And there isn't any favoritism with God. If you do the work, you get the reward. If you don't do the work, you don't get that particular reward. There are so many rewards available for Christians for works done, and we're going to look at a few of those. Look at Matthew chapter 16, verse 27. Matthew 16, verse 27. What does it say? For the Son of Man is going to come in His Father's glory with His angels, and then He will reward each person according to what he has done. He will reward each person according to what he has done. And I know the first time I heard this, I thought, well, I don't want to be motivated by rewards to do good things. I should just do good things because I'm born again of God's Spirit. 1 John 4:4, greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. I got power. I don't need to be motivated by rewards. And then I thought about it a little bit and I thought, you know what? It doesn't matter what I think. What my responsibility is to bring my thinking around to what the Bible says. The Bible says if you do the works, you're going to get the reward. Absolutely. And what is wrong with that? Nothing. If you want to help the poor, if you want to take your time and help your neighbor, if you want to go and buy somebody a car, or you want to go and put on some kind of event or whatever, that's great. What's wrong with also getting rewarded by God for that in the future? The things that you do for God, the Bible says we are going to get rewarded for. Look at this, Jeremiah 17:10. Book of Jeremiah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. Jeremiah 17:10. Jeremiah 17:10 says, I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind, to reward a man according to his conduct, according to what his deeds deserve. And I'm not going to go there today, but in Acts 10:34 and in Romans 2:11, it says that there is no favoritism with God. God is not a respecter of persons. Just because, well, that just speaks for itself. God is not a respecter of persons. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Think about Moses. I'm really hard-pressed when I think about it to think of someone who has lived, who has given up more than Moses. In Hebrews 11, verse 24, Hebrews 11, verse 24 says, by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as to the greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. Moses knew that there was a great reward for him in the future if he did what God wanted him to do. And you know what? It's the same thing with us. I know it's not easy being a Christian. It's tough at times. The whole world, the Bible says, lies in wickedness. We have to, as it says in Romans 12, we have to renew our minds. We have to change our minds. We have to bring our thinking back to what the Word of God says, walk out on it, and apply it in our lives, and we are going to get the results. And when we're doing those kind of things for God, we're also going to get rewarded for it. No, it's not easy. It's tough sometimes. I struggle at times. I mean, I know what the Bible says. I know what I should be doing. I know sometimes God says, go talk to that person about Jesus Christ. Go witness to that person. I'm too busy. I'm afraid. I don't want, how am I going to talk to them? None of that makes any difference. We have to change our minds and bring our thinking around to what the Word says. We have been conditioned, because it's a sinful world, to think the way the world is. We have to change our thinking. We have to work with our minds to live love, to put on the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, temperance, all those things. We have to change. We can do it gradually. I mean, when you first become a Christian, sure, it's like, whoa, but it's tough. We have to work with our minds. But you know what? To the extent that each moment in our life, we do what God says, we apply the Word of God in our lives, we walk out on it, and we claim the results, the next time, it's going to be easier. It's going to be easier because you're going to be out and about, and you're going to go, oh, I have this situation. What? 1 John 4:4, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I can be a conqueror in this situation. Romans 8, more than a conqueror in every situation, death, life, angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. So Moses gave up a lot, but he had good reason. Look at Psalm 62. Psalm 62. This is a great verse. Psalm 62. I'm really excited to be here today sharing on this topic, and the more that I'm getting into it today, the more excited I'm getting about it, because it's hot. Listen to this. Psalm 62, verse 11. One thing God has spoken, two things I have heard, that you, O God, are strong, and that you, O Lord, are loving. Surely you will reward each person according to what he has done. You will reward each person to what he has done. And you know what? It is not up to you to think through what you're doing and think that it's insignificant to God, because it's not. Because there are many people that have only lived on this earth a short time. I can think of one in particular, John the Baptist, whose reward is going to be great, the Word says. And maybe somebody else lived 50 years. But you know what? Maybe they didn't do what God wanted them to do. They had all that time. God is not a respecter of persons. There's no favoritism. And it says here in these other verses, surely you will reward each person according to what he's done. That is something to get excited about. That is something you may not need to use that as a motivating factor in your life. I don't use it as a motivating factor in my life. But I'll tell you what I do is, if I don't give very much because I think I should give, because we're going to look into this a little bit, and you can win and lose your rewards if your heart is not right. So if I make a decision that I'm going to do something, when I'm in the middle of it, maybe it's more difficult than what I had anticipated, or maybe it's not what I thought it was going to be, or maybe it's more challenging than what I thought I was signing up for. And then my heart doesn't get right about it. Well, I mean, we need to work with our minds and make sure that our heart is right. Because if our heart is right about it, we're going to get the reward from God. That's what the Word says. I mean, and sometimes it's not easy. I mean, and you know, when you think about the rewards, Christians will be rewarded for a variety of work that they do in this life. But I don't for one minute think that I should get the same reward as a pastor. No way. I made the conscious decision in my life years ago what I was going to do with my life. I was a born-again Christian at 19 or 20 years old. So I made a decision. I'm going to do this. Somebody else makes a decision, they're going to do this. Somebody else makes a decision, they're going to do this. Now, I don't know how all the rewards are going to work, but I do know that for people like pastors, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, and those kind of things, there are rewards set up for those. So look at Colossians chapter 3. There are so many, I'm just touching on a few verses in the Bible. There are many, many verses in the Bible that talk about this subject. These are just a few of them. Colossians chapter 3. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. Listen to this. Verse 23. 3:23. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. So, we don't want to do Christian things to be seen of men. That should not be our motivation. You know, I read about it sometimes, I don't know anybody, but I read about it where people go to church because it's a good business idea, because they're going to meet people in business and it's going to grow their business. You know, that kind of stuff really bothers me as a Christian, because for sure, the heart is not right there. Our motivation to come to church should be to worship the Lord, fellowship with like-minded believers, the church. I'm not going to share on this today, but there's loads of verses in the Bible about the church, the family that we all belong to. Not just this church, but other churches. We all belong to one family. That's the way God set it up. Anyway, so verse 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Acts, Romans, Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. So there's a little bit of division in the church going on here. I'll set up a little bit of the background, because they're going, well, I'm a follower of Apollos, and I'm a follower of Paul. And I can just see that today. Well, I'm a follower of this church, and I go to this church, and I go to this church, and I go to this church. And of course, as a result of that, we have so much division in the family of God today all over the world that everybody, oh, I'm a follower of this, I'm a follower of that. Here's what God is talking about here. What, after all, is Apollos? Verse 5, what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered, but God made it grow. And King James says, God gave the increase. God made it grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. Each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds, for no one can lay a foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ is the foundation. When we talk to people about the Bible, we should work in there Jesus Christ, because we know from what we just read, Romans 10:9-10, how we get born again of God's Spirit, and it's by grace we're saved. All that stuff is important. So, going on, the whole point of reading this particular section is that sin does not keep us out of the kingdom or heaven. We have repentance. God makes it available for us to be forgiven. And if any man builds, verse 12, on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. So this teaching that is running around that we're going to lose our salvation, as a Christian, it really upsets me, because people are telling people that, well, once if you believe in Jesus Christ and you believe God raised him from the dead, you don't really have your salvation. That is not what the Word says. Ephesians 2:8 through 10, Romans 10:9 and 10, in this section in 1 Corinthians 3 through 15 puts to rest that myth. Now, before the day of Pentecost and in the future, not during this time period that we live in now. And you know what? We should be jumping up and down, spinning around, shouting to the heavens with joy, because our salvation is of grace. Other people that have lived before us, before the day of Pentecost, the Bible, it necessarily wasn't that way. You can read through it. This time, when we're born again of God's Spirit, we have God's Spirit within us. It's in us. It's, as it says in 1 Peter, I'm going to go there real quick. 1 Peter 3, I didn't write that verse down. I think it's 1 Peter 3:15. 1 Peter 3:15. Nope, that one's not it. But here's what it says. It says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed. Not of corruptible seed. When we're born again, the seed, the spirit that we have, that we get from God. Okay, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Remember this, verse 6. Whosoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoso sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. That's a great verse, because when we do things, if I'm going to, during the holidays, go and bless a family that maybe the person lost their job and I have a job at that time and I have an opportunity that I can give in that particular situation. Well, I want to, if God put that on my heart, I should be excited about doing that. Not like, oh, well, I really don't want to do this. Because God wants us, as it says in this verse, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. We should motivate our minds and our thinking to, if we can't get there today, it's okay, but we can gradually work on our minds to get to the point where we enjoy giving, where it's a blessing for us to give, because the more that we give, the more people are going to be blessed, and we are going to be blessed also. All right, here's a few of the things that Christians will receive rewards for. Matthew chapter 19. Matthew 19, verse 29 and 30. Matthew 19, verse 29 and 30. Here we go. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. And verse 30. But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first. And remember, I was talking about that someone may think, well, I should have blah, blah, I should have this. But hey, God is God, and God shows no favoritism with people. It's going to be great, and we should be excited about that. We should look forward to that day. I look forward to that day, and I'm going to read those verses here shortly in 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. We have to be excited. Jesus Christ, it is a reality. Look at all of the promises and prophecies in the Old Testament. They've all come to pass up until this point in time. There's one still prophesied and talked about for the future, but the ones that God has said would happen by now have happened. God has got a pretty great track record. And you can bet, you can believe, you can pray, you can think about it. You know, the things that he says is going to come to pass in the future, they're going to come to pass. His son is going to come back. Matthew 5:12. Matthew 5:12 says, here we go. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So, Matthew 19, 29 through 30 says there's going to be reward given for leaving worldly things. Matthew 5, 12 says there's going to be a reward given for standing against persecution. Matthew 25, verse 14 through 29, I'm not going to read that today, but what it says is that it's a parable, and it shows that there will be a reward given for faithfulness and being faithful. There'll be a reward given for being faithful. Proverbs 19:17. These are all over the Bible. You can take your concordance sometime, look up the word rewards, and go read all these verses. You can do your own word study. Proverbs 19:17. Proverbs 19:17 says, "He who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will be He who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward him for what he has done. So I'm sure many, many people in here have been kind to the poor at one time or another. The Bible says those kind of things that we do, you should be glad when you help those kind of people. Not only because it's a good Christian thing to do and it's a good example for the Lord. How many people do you think come to the Lord because they look at our lives? They look at us and they say, you know what? I certainly wouldn't give money like that, or I certainly wouldn't be so excited about that, or I certainly wouldn't go help this person here or do this or do that. Our example, God only has our hands and our feet and things to work with. The things that we do, people, unbelievers, people who do not believe, see that, and they know that there's something different. So we get rewards for being kind to the poor. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 13. Romans chapter 12, verse 13. Romans 12, Acts Romans 12, 13. Verse 12 says, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. You know, the Bible says that we should share with God's people who are in need. Because we all belong to the same family. We're all a part of the church. And you know what? There have been times in my life when I haven't had things, and there are times in my life when I have. And all of those times in our own lives, it doesn't mean that we can't still give. Just because we don't have money, because that's probably the main thing that people associate some of that with, at least people in the world, it doesn't mean that when we don't have that, we can't call somebody up, maybe go over and talk to them. You never know what you're going to say to someone, some promise that you know in the Word, or something that touched your life that God did for you, and you're sharing with that person and you leave. We don't have any idea the power in what we just spoke and how much of a difference that could make in that person's life. I've heard stories on TV about different things where someone will say, well, you know, I was having despair or whatever, and then this, I think it was an angel that came and did something for me. God told some Christian, go, not that it couldn't be an angel, because it could, but we have the Spirit of God within us. God can tell us things. Go help that person. If you feel those, like sometimes I'm driving to work and I'm like, something just comes to my mind. I should drive this way today. Okay, I'll drive this way today. Hardly ever, but once in a while. And I don't know if there's anything to that, but I just drive that way. You know? All right, so where I'm going now. So it's established that we are going to get rewarded from God for things done. Now, a friend of mine, what I'm going to talk with you about now or share with you is on the five crowns that are available to Christians, all of us, from the Word. And my friend who's a minister, I'm using his wording here. He calls it God's extra credit program. So, and I'm going to use the King James version of the Bible to share these because I think the wording is a little bit better, although I've changed my Bibles now. I mostly use the NIV because I do think it's a clearer Bible for understanding because all the Old English and King James. But these verses in particular, I thought would benefit more by reading them from King James. So there are five crowns that the Bible talks about that is available to every one of us. Every Christian can obtain these five crowns. That and this should excite you. It should excite you that God is so smart that he's figured all this out. That no matter what you do in your life, you can be rewarded. Yeah, God, there's no favoritism. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians 9:25. 1 Corinthians 9:25. And Thankfully, this Bible is my daughter's Bible, Emily, and the words are big enough so I can read them. I am getting reading glasses, but I've been reluctant to do it. I'm kicking and screaming. My wife's been lovingly convincing me. 1 Corinthians 9:25. Listen to this. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. And the incorruptible crown, and you'll have to read some of these things and study them for yourself. The incorruptible crown is given for exercising self-control and striving to be your best for the Lord. Exercising self-control and striving to be your best for the Lord. Another crown that is given. And who knows? You as a Christian, you may end up with all five crowns. You may end up with one crown. You may end up with three crowns. Who cares? It's all good. Think about it. If you get one, you get one crown. Wow. I don't know exactly how and the wording behind it. I'm sure it's not like a crown, you know, that you put on your head or anything like that, but it's a figure of speech in the Bible. But I can tell you this, God's track record throughout the Word, those crowns are going to be great. I can tell you that. There is no question about that. It's an undeniable truth from the Word. So, striving to be your best for the Lord. Yeah, that's something worth working toward. All right, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and our joy. The crown of rejoicing is given for winning others to the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:19. Now, we, according to 2 Corinthians 5, Acts, Romans, Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5, 2 Corinthians 5:19-20. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and had committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, yes, now then, today, right now, right this minute too, we are ambassadors for Christ. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. We're ambassadors for Christ. It's our responsibility to speak the word to people. It's our responsibility to tell people about Jesus Christ and the great things. Some of these things we're talking about today. Tell them about that. They'll be like, well, I don't know, crowns? I don't know. But they'll understand it eventually. God works on people's heart. They get born again of God's Spirit. Start learning the word. It's our responsibility to witness to people, to tell people about Jesus Christ. I know, it's not easy. I've done it. I spent 3 years out on, for lack of better wording, the mission field. Going out, we would study a few hours a day and then we'd be committed. We'd go out and talk to people about the Bible. It's not easy. But the great thing about it is once you make a commitment that you're going to start doing it, here's the great thing. There are only so many questions that people have. And then what happens is most of the time, they're all the same. And you already got the answer. So someone would say, well, what about this? And especially when I was a young Christian, I go, well, I don't know. I'll have to get back to you on that. I'll get back to you on that. And then I'd go talk to somebody and find the answer, someone more knowledgeable than myself. And then I'd go and call them up and I'd go say, hey, I got the answer to this. This is what the Bible says. So when we do that, there's only so many questions that people come up with. Most of them, you're going to have the answer for. And you know what? God appreciates that. And for people who do that and win others to Jesus Christ, there's a crown of rejoicing. Number three, crown of righteousness. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. 2 Timothy. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. Listen, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. So, I think it was at Friday night Bible meeting. Yeah, Julie mentioned that she was really looking forward to the Lord Jesus Christ coming back. Amen to that. When you think about some of the things the Bible talks about, that we're going to just visit a couple of verses here on, yeah, we should all be looking forward to that day coming, but it shouldn't lull us to sleep in our lives currently. We have to fight not to get taken in by the ways of the world, the distractions, all the things that are out there. And our society today probably has more distractions than at any time in history. That's my opinion. With computers and the internet, I find myself at my office sometimes. I'll go to work and I spend way too much time on the computer. I'm sure my friend Chris, who I work with, could testify to that. I'm like, oh yeah, I think I'll float around on eBay a little bit. And I'm like, what? Is this a good use of my time? No, it's not. So, I mean, I fight and I struggle with some of these things as a Christian, but you know what? God is God, God is great, and each day that I make a decision to do it less and to do His Word more, I am going to get the results, and the people that lives that I can touch with the greatness of the Word in whatever area of their life I might be able to help them in, or you may be able to help them in, they are going to benefit, and I am going to benefit. We just have to work with our minds sometimes and get to the point to go out and do it. So, the crown of righteousness, this crown is given for loving His appearing. And believe me, He's coming back. I'm going to read those verses in closing out here in a couple of minutes. James 1:12, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James. James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tired, or I'm sorry, when he has tried, not tired, better start that verse over again. Yeah. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him. This crown's given for enduring under trial. We all get weak. We all feel inadequate at times. Ah, man, I know. I felt that way, and I feel that way at times myself. But if we can press forward, if we can endure, there is a crown of life for us. There's a crown of life for us. So, there are incorruptible crown, crown of rejoicing, crown of righteousness, crown of life. Finally, the crown of glory. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4. And 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4 says, "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive, ye shall receive. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." And this, the context of here is in the beginning of chapter 5, it talks about the elders and things like this. And this is crown. The crown of glory is a crown that is given for faithfully shepherding the flock, the Christian. So, you know, if you, let's say that you witness to your next door neighbor, or you're a pastor of a church, or you talk to somebody that you work with about the Lord, and you get them born again, and then you continue to help them and work with them. That's an area that I am very weak in, and for a long time. I mean, I can talk to people about the Bible, and I can share some of the knowledge I have about the Bible or things that I know from being taught by others. But to make a conscious effort to actually spend time with this person that I have witnessed to, or to help them become a stronger believer, I need help in that area. So that's part of the family. A lot of times that we have others in the family who can help us in that area by their example. And I do. I look at people in this church at times and I go, wow, I wish I was like that, looking at their example. Someone I thought of the other day, she's not in this church anymore, but Carla Larrabee. I told Carla one time that that I was amazed at the good works that she did for less advantaged people, and it was an inspiration to my life. And there are times in my life that when I have tried to get out of doing something in my mind that I know that God wants me to do, I think of her example in the situations that I previously have seen her in, and it inspired me. Well, we can do the same thing. We can inspire each other to do more good works. We can't do enough good works. We can inspire each other to do more good works. So, the whole premise of this sharing today is I encourage you to not be discouraged. There's a far greater plan that God has for us and for our lives. And as those great verses in 1 Thessalonians say, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, even as others which have no hope. Verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For we shall say unto you by the word of the Lord that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so, listen to this, and so shall we ever, so shall we ever, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another with these words. Hey, those words are comforting. You know what? When we get discouraged, hey, remember 1 Thessalonians 4, Jesus Christ is coming back. He's coming back. And you know what? When he comes back, not like the first time, they're not going to slap him. They're not going to beat him up. Isaiah says that the form of his face or his image was so beaten up that you could hardly or couldn't even recognize him as a man. He's not coming back that way. This time when he comes back, he's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And nobody's going to walk down the street and be able to curse him. Nobody's going to be able to slap him. Nobody's going to be able to beat him up because he's going to come back. And in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, you can read about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It's a wonderful chapter in the Word. We're going to get our new bodies and we're going to have power. We're going to be able to walk forth and have greater power than what we have today, the Bible says. So we can look forward to that. That's a motivating factor. We should look to that event and say, hey, I know, Lord, I'm discouraged. This is what's happening to me. I've got this and I've got this and I can't do this. And the weight of the world is coming down on me. Yes, but there's hope. There's hope. Call another Christian. Get fired up. Talk to them. Have them read the Bible to you. I don't know. Do whatever it takes. The promises are in the Word. Jesus Christ is coming back. And you know what? Revelation 21, 1 to 5. Listen to this. This is a glimpse of the future. This is a glimpse of your future. Your future and my future. Listen to this. And I saw, verse 20, chapter 21, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from heaven, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Listen to this. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Praise God. All tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, no more death, neither sorrow, no more sorrow, neither crying nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. There's going to be a new heaven and there's going to be a new earth. And the Bible in Daniel, Ezekiel, Psalms, Proverbs, those books have a lot, Isaiah, they have a lot to say about what's going to happen on the earth in the future. There are many, many things talked about in there. Finally, I'm going to close in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57 and 58. These are the two verses in the Bible I would say that most motivate me as a Christian. they may not motivate you in that particular way, but since they motivate me, I'm going to share them. 1 Corinthians 15, chapter 15. Verse 57. But this is just a fabulous verse here in itself. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Praise God. There it is. Our labor is not in vain in the Lord. The things that we do in this lifetime are not in vain in the Lord. God has set this whole thing up. He is so smart. Think about it. A while back, I talked about the great secret that had that in 1 Corinthians 2:9 or 2, it talks about that if the devil had known what was going to happen as a result of crucifying Jesus Christ, he never would have done it. Why? Because this time period that we live in after the day of Pentecost is the greatest time period. It was hidden God. It was revealed to the Apostle Paul. The Bible says that if all those evil spirits and stuff in the world and Satan had known it, they would never have crucified the Lord of glory. So this time period that we live in today is special. It's tremendous. We have power. 1 John 4:4, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. So we know that we get born again, or we can get other people born again. Romans 10, 9 and 10. That's how people can get saved. And once we're saved, we're God's masterpiece, and God wants us to do good works. So I want to encourage you today. Get busy doing good works. Tell me, hey, Gary, call Gary. Gary, do you think you could help me do some good works over here? I don't know. Get your wife, your husband, your friends. Do good works. The works that you do, God appreciates. You're going to get rewarded for them. There are all kinds of rewards available for the different things we do. And as I discussed, there are five crowns. So I encourage you, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Thank you. Thank you.